Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, and I hope you are all fasting well, if you are fasting, and that our Shavuos of Tammuz is accepted on high as the offering of Tanis and of Tshuva that it is designed to be. First of all, we are personally blessed today with a Mazel Tov. Thank you all for your good wishes on the birth of a grandson born to Yitzchak and Russi earlier this morning. Hashem on the yard site of Azeda, of this little boy. And the Mitzvah Hashem, they all should be, all of us and them should be Zocha to raise him, to bring him to the bris of Avraham Avinu Bezmanu, to raise him the Torah, the Chuppah, the Masrim Tovim, and to be imbued with the legacy of all of his ancestors, both those who are B'chayim and those who are not B'chayim, Yibad L'Lachayim. As a matter of fact, my wife is not here now because she is tending to the needs of our daughter, who is dealing with some of the challenges that we men don't know much about. I want to begin our words of Haskara, first of all, with an introduction about what we're doing. Is the microphone working in a way that you can hear? Good. Not really. I will talk as if there's no microphone. How about that? There's a difference between a hesped and words of remembrance. A hesped is designed to underline a loss. It's designed to make sure that those who listen are possessed by a sense of devastating loss. That's the goal of a eulogy. In America, the goal of a eulogy is to make the crowd laugh, but that's not what hesped is. Hesped is for us to be able to actually realize and the profundity of the loss. That's not what we're doing tonight. The Rosh Yeshiva Zecher Tzadik Livracha was nifter 15 years ago. We have not gotten over the loss, but we're not here to say we've lost something. We're here to appreciate what we had, to give life to that which he gave the world, so that we can further into the world, to create, put into the world that which he brought into the world in his Torah and in his Avodah. So I want to begin by actually quoting something that he said that's very, very relevant to Shavuos of Tammuz. And he was speaking in response to the question of how to teach children about seeing God's hand in history. And as is typical of the Rosh Yeshiva, he immediately attacked the question and reframed the question so that we would appreciate that the question itself was missing a point. And he said, the question is not how to teach people about seeing God's hand in history. The question is about teaching people the issue of what Klal Yisrael is. What is the Jewish people? He said we should look at a Mishnah at the beginning of the fifth chapter of Pirkei Avos, where the Mishnah says that there are 10 generations from Adam to Noach to teach you about God's patience, that he waited until he brought the Mabul before he actually responded to their misbehavior. Then the Mishnah says, Asara Doros Minoach V'Ad Avram, there are 10 generations from Noach to Abraham, to again to teach you about God's patience, because from Noach's time until Abraham, the world depended on Noach, so to speak, and whatever he left behind, and then the world wandered, and God's patience was evident. Shekol Hatzoros Hayu Machisin Uvayin, each generation was continuously angering HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ad Shabo Avraham Avinu V'Kibas Char Kulam, until Avraham Avinu came and received the reward for all of them. So he said, what does it mean that Avraham Avinu came and received the reward for all of them? He said that a concept of Klal Yisrael is that the Ribbono Shel Olam should be known in the world, that God should be known and revealed in the world. Until the human race sinned and wandered, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu was to be known through humanity. But once humanity wandered so far that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to choose Avraham Avinu, who would then become the father of Klal Yisrael. At that point, all of the awareness of God in the world would happen through the interaction with Avraham Avinu and his descendants through Klal Yisrael. There would be no way for the world to ever know about God other than through its interaction with the Jewish people. So that anything at all that was a result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that reflected HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, justice, peace, loving kindness, care for the poor, knowing God, godliness, Tzelem Elokim, all of that would depend on the world's interaction and connection to the Jewish people. Because Hashkacha Pratis would specifically happen through the Jewish people and not any way else. There would be no other way for the Shekhinah to be revealed. So he went on to say, what we have to teach our children, and I suspect when he said this, he really meant what we have to teach ourselves. What we have to teach our children, he said, is Asher bacharbanu mikol ha'amim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us from all nations. And although it doesn't fit into our Western mind, that means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically uses the existence of Klal Yisrael for the world to know about his existence. And therefore, everything that goes on in the history of the world is only relevant in terms of its impact on the interaction and relationship of the Jewish people to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the world to the Jewish people. And that everything has to be understood in that filter. And he went on to say, therefore, the entire history of the Jewish people is nothing less than our actions and the reaction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To summarize very quickly, he pointed out that until the destruction of the Bayis Rishon, until the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, everything that happened in the world was a direct response to the behavior of the Jewish people. When the Jewish people performed the Ratzon Hashem, there was immediate and open and obvious divine response. There was no question about it. When the Jewish people wandered from the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there was immediate and obvious divine response, Hashkacha Pratis. With the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, the Shekhinah is put into exile, and even with the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash, there's still Hester Panim, there's still the hiddenness of God. And while it is still true that the interaction and the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world is still happened through the Jewish people, but now it would require avoda, it would require work, it would require the human race working to know and notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And our job is to understand that that's the essence of the Jewish people, Asher bacharbanu. And therefore, he went on to say, he was talking during the time that I remember, he's probably given this talk many times, but he was talking during a time of crisis, surprise, and he was saying that the underpinning of the existence of a Jew is to know that nothing in the world happens to the Jewish people other than a divine response to our behavior. And the first yisod, the first principle, the first reaction that we have to have before knowing why is that absolutely nothing occurs to the world and to the Jewish people other than a reaction to the well-being of the Jewish people and to the behavior of Am Yisrael. And therefore, whenever anything happens and when we're in a time of crisis, it's absolutely required that a Jew ask himself and that the Jewish people ask themselves, where, how, what have we done that has brought this on? There's no political considerations that are the source of it, no military considerations, no historic cause and effect. It is all divine providence because all of Hashkacha Pratis in the world happens through the existence of the Jewish people. But this is, and particularly with Shavasar B'Tammuz, which is a fast day which commemorates a number of events, all of which can be subsumed under the larger headline of a distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a removal of the Shekhinah. I don't have to go through them all right now. And it is no coincidence that a person like Rav Shmuel Yaakov Weinberg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who stood every minute that he spoke, he stood for awareness. It's a word you can hear, and those of us who knew him understood that he had a word called awareness. Stood for awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, constant awareness of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the desire to know His will, and stood for the insistence and the clarity that everything that goes on in the world is Hashkacha Pratis, is divine providence, and that therefore we have to always be responsible for our actions and to wake up and be clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding to us. It's not a coincidence that he was taken from the world on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, on the 17th of Tammuz. This is part of his Metzius. So, there are those here who knew him, and there are those here who never knew him. And the question is, what's the point of an Azkara, of a yard site, for an Adam Gadol? So I believe that there are two points. For those who knew him, it's important for us to relive, to recreate, to revisit some of the teachings of our Rebbe, not just the teachings in terms of Divrei Torah, but teachings in terms of the Metzius, the essence of the Rebbe and what he stood for, so that we can actually re-strengthen our grip on the Mesorah that we got from him and re-presence ourselves to what he stood for. That's for those who knew him. So the hope is that by recalling some of what we got from him, we can actually strengthen our connection to him and continue to promulgate that which he taught us in the world itself. For those of us who didn't know him, particularly in this community, it's important to know that a significant amount of the hashpa, the teaching and direction and the approach that the leadership in this community, starting from the rabbi and continuing through other major sources of hashpa in this community, teachers of children, teachers of adults, major figures that are responsible for setting the goals and the trends in our Torah community, they are the result of his teaching. And it's important to know what it is that he stood for. And it's important for us to be able to relate to that, to those ideals. I will tell you some of the things that I got from my Rebbe, from my father-in-law, that stay with me. They're not words of Torah, which are absolutely critical, because words of that's the Torah itself. But they are attitudes about the relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the relationship that we have with each other. And these are things that we can all embrace. Weinberg was a brilliant man. His mind was unrivaled. And so the question is, since he was able to open a Rambam and with tremendous work be able to decipher a Rambam and open up new insights into a Rambam that are just almost unavailable to anybody else. So he was a genius, and he was a Lamdan, and he knew how to learn a Rambam. What does that do for us? What that does for us is that when he was able, with his brilliance and with his clarity and with his discipline, to open up and interpret a Rambam and show us the precision of the Rambam, he was able to reinforce for us the notion that the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tamima, is absolutely complete, that the Torah itself is brilliant, that the Torah itself is perfect, that there's no aspect of the Torah that doesn't fit with every other aspect of the Torah. And so he was really our doorway into seeing the brilliance of Kabayachal himself, to the degree that a human being is capable of seeing it. So although we perhaps could not replicate with our own brilliance or lack of brilliance the insights that he provided using his mind, when we sat before him, when we heard his Divrei Torah, when we saw, after he deciphered something, the clarity, the obviousness of what he was saying, that it was really there all the time, but it was disguised because we were distracted by things that we should not have been distracted by. At that point, we were able to see every Rambam has in it things that we have to listen for. Every Rambam has in it transmissions that are right below the surface that if we are just patient and we listen, we'll see and we'll understand. And so he introduced us really to the brilliance and the clarity and the godless of the mind, Kabayachal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. he had a tremendous amount of discipline. And this discipline, to me, was beyond belief because he had such a creative mind. To be creative and refuse to impose that creativity on the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you knew that the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu were absolutely impeccable the way they were, and that you would not play games with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying in order to say something brilliant, because you had a brilliant way of interpreting it that would seem to be so fantastic. That kind of discipline is awesome. It shows a level of avdus, a level of service, a level of will to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to know what he says, in spite of the dramatics that I could have if I would use my own mind to try to solve a problem rather than hear what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling me. And so through the discipline that we saw that he brought to everything, to Hashkafa, to Halacha, to Musar, to Gemara, to Chumash, to a Rashi in Chumash, to Rambam, the same discipline in every area, through that discipline, I felt that we saw an Eved Hashem working very hard to make sure that he didn't get between himself and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. Another thing that I got, and I think his Talmidim got, is that the Torah belongs to us. Because what he taught us is that you open up a source of Torah, or you listen to a Rebbe, and the Torah is accessible. If you but listen, if you but work, if you but think, if you refuse to impose, as I said before, your own preconceived notions, you can actually have a chelik in Torah. The Torah belongs to you. And you are responsible to acquire your share in the Torah. The Torah must be yours. You cannot allow somebody else to do it for you and then tell you something about it. But that there is a Torah and God is talking to you. And therefore you're responsible and you're capable. Because it's not a function of brilliance. It's a function of the truth. It's a function of hearing. It's a function of listening. And this was very encouraging to anybody who was ever going to leave the confines of the physical base medrash of a yeshiva, because what it meant is that the Torah can come with me. And you don't have to feel like when one leaves the yeshiva that the Torah is staying back in the base medrash. But the Torah is actually ours. Avodas Hashem, what it means to be an Eved Hashem. To be daily, regularly aware that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me now, not just supporting me, not just watching me, not just guiding my life, but most significantly, expecting from me, and his existence demands from me, something now. Not something yesterday, not something the day before, and not something that I once committed to, but something now, in the present moment. This was a major yesod for Rav Weinberg. The idea that there is no formulaic way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no habitual way to be a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no one answer that fits all. There's no one approach that works for everybody, that everybody must buy into. That every circumstance and every day and every situation requires thinking through, not because we have to work with people, but because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants something now, and we don't know what he wants now, until we think now. What he wanted yesterday might be what he wanted yesterday, but we are obsessed with what is good for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's agenda now. He once told me when I was discussing a matter with him, and I said to him, I was involved in a disagreement with somebody about a particular approach, and I needed this person's participation and cooperation. And I said, But Rebbe, this is before I was married, I said, but Rebbe, he says it's a matter of principle. He grabbed my arm. I'll never forget this. He grabbed my arm and he says, anytime a person tells you it's a matter of principle, run the other way. Because in his mind, the goal was to think now, not to have a set of principles that govern you and set you on automatic. Listening. He was ultimately a listener. His ultimate compliment was, you are a shameya, meaning that you are listening to the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, You're listening to the text. You're listening to the nuance of the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're paying attention. You're listening to the person who's talking to you, because the way he talks will make a difference. I once consulted with him about a major decision that somebody had to make. Major life-changing decision. Whatever he would decide would affect the rest of his life. And I talked it through, described the situation, and he gave me an answer. And he told me basically that the person should ignore a certain problem. As an aside, I said to him, "But Pa, he says it's eating him up." He says, "Eating? Eating is a different story. Then he shouldn't do it." So I said to him, "How could it be that you just said he should do it, and now you're saying he shouldn't do it just because I said a certain phrase?" He said, "Because it's a different story altogether." He was ultimately a listener. This would sometimes bother people because he would give different answers at different times, but that's because he was listening to the situation as it was at the moment and to the person that he was talking to. Midos. He worked on his midos. He worked on his interaction with people, meaning he was always cognizant of the desire to be a Baal Chesed in interacting with others. Always generous, always involved in the world of the person he was talking to, which allowed him to be able to relate to the deepest Talmud Chacham and the most simple and uneducated person who had not been through university, who had never learned Torah. He was able to enjoy them, interact with them, make them feel respected, because he was involved in their world and concerned for them and wanted to enjoy them and felt that they had something for him and he felt that they had something for them. And so there was no gaiva there. There was no distance between him and others because of his situation. And finally, an aspect that I didn't notice right away. When we would tell over a maisa, we would tell over a story that we had heard from about an Adam Gadol, about a great person in Klal Yisrael, very often he would challenge the story and explain why it was impossible for that story to be true. And he would explain that if that happened, then the person who did that would be stupid. And we would at first think that he did not have an appreciation for these kinds of stories. Quite the opposite. When he would hear a story that would disclose the greatness of a human being, the sensitivity of a human being, the insight of a human being, the transcendence of a human being, the love that a human being could have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he would hear a story that resonated and that was authentic with him, he would usually, when he would tell over the story, he would introduce it this way. It was kedai to be born to hear this story. Right? Point is that he loved the idea that a person could reach such a level. And he was so moved by that. And he loved Talmidei Chachamim. He loved the scholars of Torah who allowed the Torah to form his personality. And he was somebody who had a deep appreciation for that. And his sense of love for Klal Yisrael was unusual. He's known for the person, one of the major figures in developing and leading the outreach movement. I never saw him as a person who was an outreach person. I saw him as a person who loved Klal Yisrael, who felt achrayus, responsibility for Klal Yisrael. I'll close with this because the hour is late and I want to give some time for Rabbi Pransky to talk, and we do have time. I was trying to make a decision once about something, and we shared the dilemma with him, my wife and I, and he said, his response was this. Doesn't matter what the issues were. Response was, "I don't know, but this I know. Klal Yisrael needs good rabbanim." Now, the phrasing of that sentence says everything about Rav Weinberg. The idea was, there's people out there. There's a Jewish people. There's Am Yisrael. There's Rebbein Hashem's children. The concern is their well-being. So, you may be talking about what's good for you, but this issue should be decided based on what they need, what Hashem's people need. And I believe that that's what caused a man to travel halfway across the world for several summers in a row to teach 12 or 13 hours a day shiurim to people in Eish HaTorah, his brother's yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, instead of taking the time to replenish himself, Ben Azmanim. He did this regularly because there was an opportunity to make a difference, and he did whatever it took. He would be on a plane anywhere to support a Rav who was struggling, or to give a talk to a group that was interested. Whatever he could do for Klal Yisrael was his goal. And this was his sense of achrayus, a responsibility. These are some of the things I got from him, some of the things I think his other Talmidim got. Yehi Zichro Baruch. May his memory be a source of blessing and inspiration to all of us. Rabbi Prensky.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.